This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
You have to remember, though, that a sales guy will say, if I can just get in front of people, I can close 90% of the people I talk to. That is the biggest bullshit line in the history of sales.
Sure.
Yeah. You show me a guy closing 90%, bring him over here so I can personally kiss his ass.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the premier, unbelievable sales and personal development podcast on the planet. Now, more than 100,000 downloads a month strong.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks to you. Thanks to you, the diehards. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Sell or Die. Are you guys ready to rock? We have a great episode today. Our guest is awesome Mike Baker. That's right. He has named himself awesome.
I love that.
I know.
Love the fact that a guy can say, I'm awesome.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on, because that's what you do every day, Jeffrey.
No, I agree with that, but I call myself fucking awesome because I'm from Philly.
And oh, boy. If you have kids in the car, now's a good time.
Right,
now's
exactly.
Now's a good time for those earmuffs. All right. Awesome Mike has a system to efficiently and effectively sell investment products, or as it's called to many people in that industry, wholesaling.
Yes, he sells to people who sell the product.
That's right. And some of you might think of wholesaling differently. That's what I thought of originally.
Right. You can't go in the store. It's wholesale only.
But it's all about investment products. But it's going to be relevant to you because he has some really great sales lessons.
And he's got a really good message of getting him – again, he was a veteran for 12 years. Again, he's got a great message. The man records out of a van.
Yeah.
Like,
major
he's dedicated
respect.
To it.
Major respect. All right. Nada, before we get to Awesome Mike, can we read a five-star review?
Wait. There's a five-star thing that happened.
Yes, exactly.
In
we do
our
need to
world
mention that.
Yeah.
Where little Jen Gluckow.
Aww.
Little teeny little Jen Gluckow. Little demure Jen Gluckow.
Demure? No. Tiny, okay. Absolutely.
was featured in an article regarding Cutco knives because she was a Cutco veteran before she could drive a car. And is that fair to say?
I could drive.
Oh. But barely.
Barely, yeah.
You could drive.
I was worried about the other people on the road.
Right. Because they had to be on the same road as you.
Exactly.
But so, Cutco did a – there was an article on Cutco, and they featured Jen as one of the
– Yeah. It was an article on Business Insider called Successful People Credit Cutco, the company that recruits college kids to sell knives with teaching them business lessons that last for life. And I was featured with John Rulin, who's been on our show. He wrote the book Giftology, and he's amazing at teaching people how to give gifts, what gifts to give, when to give gifts, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other feature in the article was John Levy, and he has a pretty interesting story as well. He created the Influencers Dinner Networking event and really some cool other stuff. But if you go
– Sounds like Keith Ferrazzi.
If you go to Business Insider and search for my name or just click in the show notes, we'll link out to it because it's a pretty cool article and it gives you a little bit of insight into my foundation and where I've come up with – and really learned how to sell and gain success strategies.
Your foundational information, right?
Yeah.
Not the Jen Gluckow Foundation.
No, no, I haven't started that yet, but if you're willing to donate, let me know.
let me share something with you about dinner. Keith Ferrazzi is the guy that wrote the book Never Eat Alone, and he was he literally was a chief marketeer for Starwood, created in the Heavenly Bed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's a brilliant guy. And he would have dinners. He would host dinners for a dozen people, maybe more. But the table could not be more than 18 inches wide. And that way, everybody could talk to everybody else. And in the middle of dinner, he would make everybody switch seats.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Totally brilliant. Sometimes he would wait till dessert, but everybody got to talk to everybody. Because when your table is narrow, you can actually go two people to your left and two people to your right. And the people next to you. So you had a six-person potential conversation.
Yeah, but the one thing about those narrow tables at times is, like, if you have a wingspan like mine, you might end up elbowing somebody in the ribs or something like that.
That's part of the tough shit rule there.
Be careful.
You eat with your elbows tucked in. But I can tell you, the first time I was ever invited to one of those, I was very flattered. I'd heard him talk before, and he was pretty good. And I didn't even know I had the invitation. Somebody said, hey, do you know you're invited to this dinner? They had shoved it under my door or something, and I hadn't been back to my room. And so I go to this dinner, and Ferrazzi comes over, who I hardly knew, and he goes, you're sitting next to me tonight.
I'm like, oh, wow.
Okay, cool.
That's awesome.
I'll do that. And we became friends. We're still friends because of that dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Where you got to know who the other person was and why they did what they did.
Yeah, dinner is a meal is a very civilized place to try and get to know someone. And it's quiet enough, hopefully, if you choose the right restaurant, where you can have conversation.
No music. And it's a private room.
Yeah.
And every person got to know every other person
there.
That's
so cool. Yeah, totally. I love that. All right.
So let's get to the 5-star review.
Let's do it.
Why not,
John? All right. I'm going to read it.
All right.
Joe. It's a guy named Joe. Now, Joe, this is a pretty uncommon name, so he'll never be able to realize that it's him. If you're going to write your 5-star review, dudes, give us your code name. But tell us who you are so we can tell people how to find you. You may want to be known. So
you might want to be a guest on Sell or Die, too.
Exactly.
All right. What does Joe write?
Joe writes, love Sell or Die podcast. Oh, cool. It was a great message on networking that I heard and I couldn't get enough. It taught me to stay networked and to stay learning. Way to go, Joe.
Cool. Thank you,
Hell
Joe.
Hell of a guy.
We love that.
Remind listeners to – oh, wait. I'm reading that.
Oh, man. All right, guys. All 5-star reviews get read on Sell or Die. So don't forget to give us your 5-star review.
Now, let's get down to awesome. Awesome.
Hold on. Do you need to switch the thing? No, we're good. Okay.
What do you mean?
We're doing the end now?
No, we're getting
we're going to get to awesome.
Intro. Oh, okay.
Hello. So, awesome Mike Baker has a weird business that nobody really competes with him. He's got products and he goes to insurance people and he tries to get them to resell them. There may be 20 competitors in the world. But I challenge you that Awesome has a strategy of interacting with people using his brand Awesome, and it's working. It's totally working. And I want you as a diehard to figure out how you can take the awesome out of Awesome Mike and put it into your awesome so you can be Awesome Jennifer or Awesome Doug or Awesome Bob or Awesome Mary.
Hey, wait, what about Awesome Nada? Like, what about me here, Jeffrey?
It would be a stretch, not a...
Oh!
I see how it is now.
It's Philly.
No, you are awesome, Nada.
Totally.
Maybe you are already.
No, actually, I would go with totally awesome, Nada.
I appreciate
that. There you
that.
Go.
No problem. So let's listen to Awesome Mike, but I want you to listen with your pen so that you can figure out how you can take Mike's strategy and put it into your life.
Let's get to it. Awesome Mike Baker is one of the leading experts in the country when it comes to wholesale selling. He's become so good at it that he now teaches it. And even better, he broadcasts his thoughts with multiple sales experts, including
the great, the one and only
Jeffrey Littimer.
All right.
Today on Sell or Die, we're going to turn the tables and have him on our show. Diehards, say hello to awesome Mike Baker.
I think it's emphasis on the awesome, correct, Mike?
Absolutely. You know, I often tell people that Magic Mike was already taken, so I've used the word awesome to be more memorable in the
eyes.
I agree.
You're awesome, yeah. Mike. So, I love it.
We are rated E, by the way. You can say anything you want.
Yes, I am aware, as you recall. Yeah. But thank you.
So, but do you think that in today's world, as you teach other people, that your language plays a role in, you know, the lexicon you choose plays a role in how accepting the audience is of your message?
You know, I really do. And in fact, if you have a qualified prospect in front of you, they're the right kind, the right type, it's the right temperature outside, there's still this thing called a closing ratio. And why, if all these things are lined up, all the stars are lined up, you've done your work, why aren't you closing all of your sales? And the really, I think the biggest reason is that we don't take time to figure out what's important to our listener, to our audience, and we just tell them in our own language.
Mm-hmm. You have to remember, though, that a sales guy will say, if I can just get in front of people, I can close 90% of the people I talk to. That is the biggest bullshit line in the history of sales.
Sure.
Yeah, you show me a guy closing 90%, bring him over here so I can personally kiss his ass.
Yeah, it's a lie. And what normally is, it's usually the other side of it. 90% of the sales are walking away.
Yeah.
But with my work, I help the actual sales guy to understand his own language. Like, I'm a pride guy. So when you're talking to me, you want to talk about the best in class. You want to talk about the king of sales. That's interesting to me. If you're a fear person, if your biggest emotion is fear and you're worried about losing, you're worried about running out of money, you and I are not going to be talking about the same thing.
Right, because you're chicken shit and I'm going to jump off the bridge.
Yeah, you and I are a lot alike. There is no fear.
Correct.
So therefore, we speak the same language, but there's a lot of people that would be terrified of talking with us. So I help my audience to understand that and to be able to talk in the language of their listener.
So people will ask me, do you get nervous just before you give a speech? I'm like, no. I've never been nervous for any talk I've ever given in my life because I'm prepared. And when you're prepared, I don't think about fear. I think about how important it is to get this message transferred and how good I have to be today. I'm not scared of
exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly. In fact, Jen, before you go, Jocko Willink, who's a Navy SEAL commander, tough guy, I mean, just awesome guy, he uses a phrase called discipline equals freedom. And Jeffrey, if we do the discipline of preparation, that gives us the freedom from stress, worry, and from being confined to ad-libbing because we're not prepared.
Yeah, that's very deep. That's not just like a side thing before we get to the next thing. That's a major thing. Right. I love that.
Would you say that was awesome?
That was awesome. Freaking awesome.
I would say also that many presenters, when they get in front of the room, the first thing they want to do is make some kind of an excuse for what they don't have or what they didn't do. And, I'm not as familiar with this as seriously, dude, like, give me your clicker and go away. I'll just run through the slides and I'm done.
So, Mr. Yeah. Awesome, how many times a day do you think you use that word?
Oh.
As many as I possibly can. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is I believe in this thing. In fact, the letter O in awesome stands for omnipresence.
Oh.
So I want to always be there. So the word awesome is great. And as Jeffrey might know, you look a little bit young to understand this one, Jennifer. But back in the 80s, awesome was the thing. So it's memorable. It's the right vernacular for our maturity level or our age, if you would. And it's also brainwashing yours truly. That things are awesome.
Cool. If you say it enough, you become it.
That's right.
In my opinion.
That's right. And people will believe it.
I'm assuming that it's tattooed on your ass, but you don't want to show everybody all at one time.
Well, you got to earn some privileges.
We'll skip that part of the video segment. So,
wait, do you have a tattoo of awesome?
I do not.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm calling you out right now. There is no reason. That you can roll your sleeve up and show me I live it so much.
I wear it on the heart of my sleeve.
Now you're talking.
I do, actually. In fact, you know, it's funny because a lot of people reject it. A lot of people, they've known me or they look at me, they're like, yeah, you know.
Well, they grew up with you.
Who's this idiot that says he's awesome or whatever? And I remind them, I say, you know what? I don't say it's awe everyone, Mike. It's just awesome.
Aha. Very well done. And I think you can even make yourself seem more humble, although it's hard, if you say, I don't consider myself awesome until I transfer my awesomeness to others.
100%. That also reminds me that I need to live up to my name. I did a recording this morning, and the biggest compliment that the gal gave me was that I lived up to my name.
Cool. That's pretty neat. I love that. All right. So
it's only a few consonants away to be awful, Mike.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? You don't want that. You certainly don't want that.
All right. So awesome, Mike. Awesome, Mike. We're going to go with awesome. You are now a leading expert, but you didn't start off that way. So no. How did you first get into sales?
Well, I mean, you're going to go way back now.
Way back.
To the 80s.
Yeah. No, actually the 70s.
Ooh.
When little Mikey Baker would go back to the same 10 or 12 houses on my block every day selling them some more candy bars. And the reason why was I needed money to play Little League baseball.
Ooh.
And that why was strong enough to make me go back there and get doors closed in my face and have doors not answered, but it worked. And it just built that lack of fear. It built that confidence. It built that ability to win others over. And from there, it's always been there throughout my career. I did take a 12-year hiatus from the sales game when I went and served our nation and was in the Army.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, and it was an honor to serve, and thanks for saying that. It was an absolute sales game as well, because anytime you're communicating, you're really selling your ideas, your values, your beliefs to someone. I remember when President Clinton was going through his impeachment process, and I was a leader of men in the Army, and they were very derogatory towards him. And I said, gentlemen, you may not like Mr. Bill Clinton, but you will respect and honor the commander-in-chief.
It's true. So
yes.
That was a sales
event. Yeah.
What city did you knock on the doors when you were a kid, little Mikey?
Yeah, it was a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, and but the town was called Belleville. Really, its origination was from a thing called French Landing, but a little blue collar suburb. My father was a truck driver, and for his career, and you know, we're pride guys, right, Jeffrey? So I'm proud to say that my father was inducted in the Truck Driving Hall of Fame.
Now you're talking.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
This is a real thing.
That's very cool.
That's like sixth gear, right?
So
he was only one of four guys to do it that particular year, so I'm very proud of that.
So yeah. He was, in fact, awesome, too.
Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, that might be where I got it from, is because if I ever didn't win or if I ever didn't, you know, perform, he would always ask me, is that the best that you can do? Mm. And you can look at it a few different ways, but one, that he believed in me, but also two is that he expected more.
Right.
And he was disappointed if I didn't, you know, put in 110%. I wasn't awesome.
He didn't give you a participation trophy?
Wait, what kind of a father was that?
I don't understand.
Here's the thing, Jen, that wasn't even around back when.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey, it wasn't even around when I was growing up either.
That is so stupid. To try to equalize the process, because people want to win. They want to be the winner. And even if it's always the same guy, what it means is you're not pulling your own weight. You're not doing well enough to be able to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to someone recently on my show, and they said, you cannot be Switzerland in America.
That's right.
Take the best shot.
I love
that. Credit. You know, Teddy Roosevelt talks about the critic. You know, the credit doesn't belong to the critic that's in the crowd, you know, with their vanilla wafers and their clean fingernails. It belongs to us in the field. It's ugly every day, and we don't quit. We get after it. We be all we can be. We live an awesome life, not a mediocre one.
I'm just challenging you, though, that without vanilla wafers, banana pudding would die. So I'm only putting it out there. Jeffrey has a sweet tooth.
I'm a fan of vanilla wafers. I'm not a fan of vanilla lifestyle.
Yeah, I concur.
I really like that quote, though. You cannot be Switzerland in America.
That's... You know, there's an old Bob Newhart show where they all go to an ice cream. He was a psychologist and lived with Suzanne Plachette, so it's the main thing, but had weirdo customers. And they all went out one night to get ice cream.
And it was one of those ice cream places where there was interaction between the server and whatever. And Bob ordered vanilla. And they came around and go, vanilla ice cream, party pooper, party pooper. Like they literally made fun of the guy for ordering vanilla.
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremarco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks. And it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
So back to you, Mr. Awesome Mike.
Yeah.
You start selling when you're a little kid. You have this why. I love it. And then somehow you get into wholesaling. But how? Talk to us about that.
Great question.
So, and most of the people, by the way, listening, don't know what wholesaling is. You might want to start out with what the hell is
it. Exactly. So it was 1999, and you remember the stock market boom.
And the Prince song came out.
Exactly. What a great song. And but the market was going crazy. And I was driving. I was working. I just got out of the Army, working in a factory, trying to make ends meet for my pregnant wife and myself. And every day I was listening to the NPR as I was driving to work. And it was all about this investment craze, investment boom. And so I said, hey, I need to do that. So I got involved and became a financial advisor. And for 3 years, I won all kinds of trophies and accolades, a cruise to the Bahamas for my financial advisory skills. Mm-hmm. And then I was recruited by a firm to represent an investment product. That's what wholesaling is. When people ask me, what do I do, Jennifer? I don't say that I'm a wholesaler because they don't know what that means. I say this, I'm a spokesman for an investment company. And that's what I do. I travel around the country and I talk to people, financial advisors and their clients, about why they might consider using my company's products to invest in.
So it's an investment product like a mutual fund or something like that?
It is indeed. It is indeed. And there's a lot of us out there and there's really very little development. You kind of almost, you don't go to school to become a wholesaler. You kind of find out and you end up here. So it's been
with a flag over your head.
It's true. And it's been my mission over the last 10 years is to help out my brothers and sisters, to give them the wisdom and the insight that I've developed on the road. And now it's really had an inflection point because now I'm talking with sales gurus and celebrities like yourselves, which just takes the learning to a whole new level. So I thank you for your work in that.
Man, my pleasure. When you're talking to them, what convinces them to go with you versus the hundreds of other Fidelity fund things that are out there?
Well, see, now here is, this is the magic. Now, if I was an average wholesaler, I would start talking about features and benefits. We have the best rate of return. We have the risk protection. But as a awesome wholesaler, I take the time to understand what's important to the advisor and their clients. And if this advisor is fear-based, then I use the words like we've never lost money or we're going to protect the downside. If the advisor is pride-based, I say we're the top-ranked five-star fund in this category or our returns are the best ever. So it's the language that I use that gets me across the finish line and gets them to ultimately use my company's product instead of a competitor's.
Are there other elements of that? Pride, fear, what's the rest?
Love.
Uh-huh.
Greed. And by the way, greed is good. And the big one, guilt. And I'll tell you this, there's three positives. You have love, pride, and greed. Those are all positive adjectives, positive emotions. They're strong, but guilt is stronger than the three put together. Okay. If I tell you, Mr. Wholesaler, don't your children deserve to see you more often than they are? That's going to really hit a guy home that if he has this guilt. Don't your clients deserve the best in class? Okay, that's the language for guilt. But the biggest one is fear. and fear outweighs all of them put together, maybe times two. If someone is fear-based, you cannot budge them with all of the bells and whistles, all of the pride, all of the love, if they are afraid. So it's important to understand your audience and to be able to talk to them in the proper language so that those emotions are stirred in them, not in me.
So I'm burning up with two questions. Number one, how is greed positive?
Greed just simply means that you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Greed really equals control. Greed equals not wasting time, okay? Most people are usually 5 to 10 minutes late. Why is that? They know that everybody else is usually late, and they don't want to waste their time. Hmm. Makes sense?
And so they'd rather show disrespect for the other
person.
We're
on time, people.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, because you're a pride guy, you take pride in your punctuality. You take pride in the professionalism of your show.
I was 2 minutes early. You were earlier than I was, but I was 2 minutes early.
The neat thing is that it's not a zero-sum game. You'll have a strong emotion and then a second stronger and a third. And some people are so prideful that fear doesn't even come into play. So it's a little bit of an art to dissect each person to understand their language and then to be able to communicate with them.
So that's exactly where I was going with my second question. How do you dissect, like, what matters to whom?
Well, you just almost said it. You almost said it. It's a question that I got or stole or use and give credit to Mr. Bill Bachrach. And by the way, he might be a great guest for you guys too. He's a legitimate celebrity in the financial services industry. But Bachrach's created this question called WIATY, and it's WIA-TY. It's another acronym, but it stands for simply, what's important about blank, fill in the blank, to you. So I would say to you, Jennifer, I'd say, what's important about your business to you? And then what would you say, Jennifer?
That my customers succeed from my strategies.
Then I would say this. Now, customers succeeding from your strategies, that means different things to different people. So tell me, Jennifer, help me out here. What's important about your customers succeeding from your strategies? What's important about that to you?
It makes me feel good.
All right, stop. Love, pride, fear, greed, or guilt. What do you think she is, guys?
Pride.
Pride.
Wrong. You're pride. She's love.
Ooh.
She wants to make sure her customers succeed.
I'm love.
You see that? Now, number two is going to be a little bit of pride because she said from the techniques, things that I teach them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but by the way, love is the strongest one. So by telling her that her car is the nicest car or that she made the best breakfast or that she is the best partner that you could possibly have, that's okay. But what's better is when you say to her, I really appreciate the work that you do for us.
You hear that, Jeffrey?
You made me feel very
fun. I hear it, but I don't.
Can you hear her giggle? Look at that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's her emotions, love and pride. You, my man, you are like me. You're a pride, no fear.
Nope.
Right? And a little bit of guilt, though. And when I say
guilt, that's how I was raised.
Jews have guilt. We are raised with Jewish guilt. It's a thing.
Yes, it's a thing. It is. It is. It really is.
You didn't
is.
Eat enough. What do you mean I didn't eat enough? I prepared all this food all day long, and this is all you're eating?
Whack. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
So I want you to explain something to me. I have been with the expression, fear of loss is greater than desire to gain, for 25 years. I would like to know your take on that.
Well, I agree. And in fact, if you rewind the tape, I mentioned earlier that pride, love, and greed are strong. Guilt is stronger than those three, but fear is double all of them put together.
So what you're saying is someone would be more open to buy if they have fear and you were going to take their fear away.
Correct.
I agree with that.
And so they're afraid of having their car repossessed rather than driving it around the neighborhood?
Yes. They are more afraid of not being able to make a car payment than they are proud to be able to show off and look better than their brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fear-based person. Now, that person, the challenge is to getting them to take any action because fear leads to paralysis.
Well, they're risk-averse.
So the pride guy, you can dangle that carrot out there. You can dangle that carrot, but that stick, that fear is going to motivate more people. And it's more universal because we are a genetically wired. We're designed for self-preservation.
But so can you say something like, I know that many of my customers have a basic fear of beginning with us. So we've designed something that makes it not just easy, but profitable.
Clicker. Yeah, I would lead with whatever theirs is, Jeffrey. So when I talk to you, I say, hey, my show is exploding right now. My reviews are going through. I have people calling me now. There's guys that I'm talking with, Bill Backrack, and on and on about how great it is, because that's what you want to hear. And then I would shift over and I would say, and you know what? It makes me feel so good to be able to help so many people with our show, with our time. We're not just having great customer service. No, no. We're, as my friend Dennis Mosley-Williams said, we are creating an environment of time well spent. Now that's Jennifer there. I just hit her in the heart. I hit you in the heart by being the best and her in the heart by showing love.
Got it.
I want to be best too, though.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
you're number two is pride.
Oh, okay.
But it's not fear. You guys are not fear-based.
No, we're not.
If I asked you what's important, you would say, well, I'm worried that our country is going to suffer about this or that. Or I'm worried my business is going to do this or that. Then I would go with the fear.
Mm.
And I would say, well, doing business with us, you no longer have to worry because we've taken this step to mitigate that risk. We've taken this step to mitigate. I'm not talking about pride at all. I'm not talking about results at all because you don't want to hear that until you know that that risk has been reversed.
This is awesome. I wonder, diehards, how often you listen closely when you're talking to your prospects and your good customers that you have those amazing relationships with to figure out, are they love-based, pride-based, fear-based, greed-based, or guilt-based? And if you haven't been doing that, that's a good strategy to have because then you can come back with some sort of help for them that's based in one of those areas.
And
I
you
love
have to
it.
Know which ones are the positive ones and which ones are the negative ones so you how, in fact, to arrange your words that harmonizes with their feelings.
Yeah.
Yes. You have to ask first. Stephen Covey, our bald brother, used to say, rest in peace, seek to understand, then to be understood.
You want to know a secret? St. Francis said that. St. Francis of Assisi. In 1100.
That's awesome. Covey has some great references. That's awesome.
No, he never references it.
He didn't? Shame on him.
Yep.
So
well, the word's still
just
mine.
I'm just saying it.
Thanks to St. Francis. I love it.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about your strategy for a minute because it's not that often that I hear of a guy in financial services industry having a podcast. How did you get into podcasting and why?
You know, that's a great question.
Thank you. That's a third great question. Not that I'm counting, but I am awesome too.
You indeed, you indeed are.
And speaking of guilt, why are you not on our network?
Yeah, he's
not a guilt guy. You got to give him the pride.
Yeah,
he's all about the pride.
We're about to exceed $500,000 downloads a month with our current audience.
But that's okay. Yeah, let's talk about that.
I've looked into that too.
Now forget it. You know what? He's not interested.
Takeaway clothes. Love it.
Not qualified.
So I think Jennifer's question was, how did I get into broadcasting? And essentially, I'm a lifetime learner.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting the sales caffeine easing Tuesday mornings. A million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're old, Jeffrey.
No.
I'm that old?
I believe you were on literally the episode, I think my first couple episodes were in the 200s.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I've been a fan of that. And then the media has just changed and evolved. Podcasting now is the new thing. And as a competitive-based guy, as a wholesaler, as a sales professional, I want to keep up and even lead the way.
Of course.
So podcasting, broadcasting is the future. It's free TV. It's free media, free radio, and I think that it's also a way to stand out from the sea of sameness that's out there.
I concur. But with your strategies, when you get a listener, they're going to stick with you because you're engaging, and that keeps you top of mind, and that's the whole essence of podcast. Stay
top
of mind.
Yeah, and then here's another thing too, is that the connection that you and we have right now, That's actually, it's a dying thing. Everything is so short and superficial now that for me to be able to know about King's Bookstore from you, talking to Deb, you know what that is? That's a conversation. That's a relationship that we're going to have.
Wait till you go to the store.
We're not getting that.
You'll actually be friends with me.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm gonna film it. I'm going to send you a shot
cool.
of us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Especially if John comes out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, he's an irrational human being with a great sense of humor, and you're going to love the guy. He's like one of those old people that doesn't go out in public very often.
Well, I will go to him instead. So it's going to be a treat. But that media, Jen, this podcast, yeah. and who knows what's next, holograms, whatever it's going to be. I believe that's a way to connect to people and, you know, and to continue to evolve.
Take one note, okay? When you go to John King, I'm trying to buy one of his old signs, one of the old John King used books signs. And you can say, hey, did you ever sell that sign to Jeffrey Gittimer? I know he really wants it.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you send it to him for Christmas, you cheap bastard? And he'll totally appreciate it.
I will do that. I'm taking a note.
I tried to close on him one time to get a discount on some books. Actually, on a poster book from the Dick and Jane series. It was the big poster book that the teacher put in front of your class, like, see, Dick, run, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were $1,500 for two of them. And I said, John, I really want these. What can you do? He said, not charge you $2,000. And
I love it.
It was a close.
I love it.
I mean, just think of what a normal person would do. Well, I think I can knock a couple hundred. No, he was emphatic about not charge you $2,000.
Wow. Wow. You know Dan Kennedy, he taught me this. He said that that higher priced item purchasers, wealthy people, are not nearly as interested in discounts because they are wary of discounts. They understand that there's no free lunch, but they love bonuses. So when I go back and talk to John, I'm going to try to talk to him about some kind of a bonus for him to sell me those signs versus trying to get a discount.
They didn't grow up in a Jewish family household. No. Because I can tell you, we were always trying to get things at wholesale,
yep.
not retail. So when I saw you were into wholesaling, I'm like, wholesaling, cool. Exactly. But it was something totally different than what I thought.
I will tell you that we if you go to a Jewish synagogue, that the rabbi giving a sermon concentrates on wholesale and retail. Not heaven and hell.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. So, okay, let's get back to you,
yeah.
Mike, because you are so awesome. So what, when you're like consulting with some of these financial folks across the country, what are some of the common obstacles that you see?
Biggest one that I think is across all salespeople at the entry level is that they focus on simply what they do. And they don't niche down their market effectively. For instance, if you talk to a financial advisor, they might say that, oh, I'm a financial advisor. Or they might even say, ooh, I'm a retirement planner.
Or I help people with their investments.
So how right. do you recommend that they niche down their market?
I want them to identify exactly who they help with and then why. For instance, hi, I'm Mike Baker. I'm the chairman and founder of JBRS Financials, my kids' initials. And we do investment planning and wealth management for parents of children with autism to ensure the decency and the dignity for that child's lifetime. Let me tell you guys, anybody that has a kid or knows a kid with autism goes,
yeah, you're the guy.
Yeah.
You're for me. Where have you been? We do financial planning and investment management for military officers returning to civilian life to ensure they retain the benefits they've so honorably earned.
So, wow, I love that.
Boom.
So what would you say to someone that's like, but I don't want to limit myself to that small of a market?
There's plenty of people in that market.
Jeffrey. Oh,
yeah, and I would even tell them, I do. In fact, if you're in a member-based business, how many people can you effectively have a relationship with, really? It's just a few. It's just mm-hmm. it's 100, 200. And I ultimately ask them, I say, what's the purpose of your business? Is it to become a billionaire or is it to really help families like this, families like that, and to really have an impact on their lives? And that's always what they choose. And guess what? The more you focus, the hotter the sun becomes, the more revenue it actually produces for you.
Concur.
You become known as.
I totally concur. But
I think you might have taught it to me.
Do you have to know what their niche is? Do you have to know that there's autism in their family before you start, or military returnees before you start?
No, that's a great question, Jeffrey. And what I do is I spend time listening. And I find out about them. And if they are vanilla and they have no nuances to them whatsoever, which I haven't found yet, I'll just simply ask them, describe to me your three favorite clients.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, oh, they work at Ford Motor Company. You know, my father went to Ford Company, Ford Motor Company, et cetera. So I said, that's what you do. You deal with executives from the greatest automotive company in the world, which I'm not endorsing Ford here, but just an example. And then in 6 months, you actually are the expert because you understand their plans. You understand their benefit packages. You understand the mentality of them. You become their guru.
Yeah, I think if you develop a few niches, it will earn you greater revenue than if you try to be happy to everybody.
For sure.
Yeah, and also, too, if you're just a generalist, which is at the bottom of the pyramid of power, another one of my vignettes or seminars, the generalist has the lowest level of compliance, okay? If you got sick and you went down to the CVS and the gal told you, okay, I know what you have. You need to stand on 1 foot every morning and breathe deeply for 15 minutes. You're laughing, right? Because you're like, okay, what?
And jump up and down. You forgot to jump up and down.
Yeah, and rub your belly.
If here's the thing. If Jillian Michaels told you to do yoga once a day, you
That's
standing on 1 foot breathing deeply. Yeah. But it's because Jillian has made herself into this celebrity. She has the influence and she's talking to a general market, but really it's a niche. She's going to say, hey, I have this program for 20 something year old women that want to keep their 20s vibrance, but also show the wisdom of their mothers. Then you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I love that.
Yeah. So the object, hang on a second, diehards, the object is for you to get your customer, your prospect, to raise their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And say,
hit them in the head or the heart, hopefully the heart, but easily the head. How many people can you? Yeah.
Yeah. And you want them to say, raise your hand and say, you are for me. Or I have one of those little guys with autism. Or I was an army officer and now I'm a civilian. Mm-hmm. You're for me. Here's the genius. If you peel back the layers, it's all the same stuff. It's all financial planning. It's all wealth management. There's some nuances there, but it's not, they're all the six key planner tasks. But because I know that you're for me, I can actually see you as opposed to looking at the thousands of me too, financial advisors, car salesmen, real estate agents, you name it.
Yeah. That's great.
Amazing.
All right. So awesome, Mike. Where do people find out more? Do you want them to go listen to your podcast?
You can definitely listen to the podcast, the Awesome Wholesaler Experience Podcast. It's on Stitcher.com.
We will
Google Play and YouTube, by the way.
We'll put that in the show notes. That's awesome.
Yeah, they can also check me out at awesomewholesaler.com. That's the website there where they can reach out to me. And if they mention the show here, I will make sure that I respond to them even more promptly than I already do.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
And thank you for being awesome on our show.
Yeah, this was phenomenal.
My pleasure.
Hi, Mike. All right. We'll see you talk soon. Talk very soon, actually.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you. I'll make sure that I update you on Mr. King.
Thank you.
All right. That was awesome. You guessed it. You knew I was going to say it. Can you imagine? I was going to say
amazing, but but here's the deal. You know, most of you are not going to see this on video, but he has a flag behind him.
Yeah.
That was his military flag for 12 years on his Humvee. And if you don't think that's inspirational to him, like the dude actually is Awesome Mike.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no bullshit involved about it. He created an awesome atmosphere by his awesomeness as a person.
But I just want to say this. Okay, you go around, you're going to networking things or wherever, and you're introducing yourself. Like, you know, you're going about your day. How many times a day do you think you introduce yourself?
Multiple times a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So when he introduces himself, he immediately creates this positive moment.
Yeah.
Like, hey, who are you? Okay, great. I'm Awesome Mike. Like, that to me requires energy and it requires such positivity because he's not going to be like, I'm Awesome Mike.
Yeah. You know? Can you imagine going on a cold call and introducing yourself to the gatekeeper? Can I tell him who's calling? Yeah. I'm unfucking believable Bob. Exactly. I think everyone needs to give themselves a first name.
Yeah. So like your parents gave you a name that you now have. What about the name you give yourself? What's that name? That's what I want to know. Write it in the Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group. If you had to give yourself an adjective before your name or a name, what would it be?
I'm No Bullshit Billy. And you can do it in a way that's fun and funny and you're memorable. Yeah. Awesome Mike is memorable.
Totally.
But here's the deal, though. You don't really understand how awesome this guy is until you understand his background and his depth. He genuinely is awesome.
He is, for sure, 100%. All right, so now he had this quote that I even mentioned during the show because it just struck me so deep. And he said something along the lines of, "You can't be Switzerland in America."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know why?
Why?
Because there's no Zurich here.
No, but like people are trying sometimes so hard to fit a square hole in a round peg and to do things that don't necessarily fit other people's cultures, whether it be their sales culture, whether it be their environment, their, you know, their ways of selling, that kind of thing. And you can't bring the wrong identity over.
I agree. Now, diehards, when you're listening to this lesson, I want you to go back and listen to the five emotions that Mike talked about.
Yeah.
Love, greed, pride, fear, and my favorite, guilt. If you harmonize with those emotions, you can turn any conversation into an emotional, engaging conversation. It's not a fact and figure. It's not, here's my dorky slides. This is something that will engage somebody immediately, and he asks questions to determine which emotion you should follow. It's a brilliant concept.
It is, because like first level selling is figuring out really what they want. But the next tier, this tier up, if you want to be a master salesperson, is really knowing not just what their emotion is, but what it's rooted in and where it's coming from, so that you can speak to the heart, the literally the heart of their emotion.
And you know, and I don't mean this in a manipulative way, but you know how to play to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to communicate and converse with that person to where they become engaged with you because they feel like you genuinely know them.
I don't think it's manipulative. It's help. If they're scared of something and you're telling them specifically how you can help their fears go away because your product or service is legitimately going to help them, then that's okay.
I don't disagree with that, but I just wanted to put the caveat in there.
Yeah, like if they're scared of something and you're talking about how much they're going to love it, you're never going to be able to help them. So you have to think of it as, how can I best help this other person?
So we had a great conversation with Awesome Mike. We have just given you, and I'm going to make it brief, we've just given you these five emotions: love, greed, guilt, fear, and pride. I want you to write those emotions down, and I want you to create questions when you engage your prospect for the first time that uncovers those emotions. What's important to you about? Why did you decide to do this? What all the things that have to do with the decision-making process, so that you can extract a primary emotion and converse in that language.
For sure.
And that's the way you transfer your concept and transfer your meaning. So diehards, you need to put yourself in a winning position. And that winning position is, can you emotionally engage with your prospect?
Yeah, for sure. So guys, if you want to help us out this week, go buy a copy of our new books, The Sales Manifesto and Sales in a New York Minute. And then after you get that copy, go on Amazon, give us a review.
Yeah, give us our five-star review.
If you've already got the book, read the book, love the books, just go on Amazon. Help us out. We need your help.
Why don't
please.
You go to Amazon before you buy the book and read the five-star reviews that other people have put in, so you can convince yourself that this is going to be a genuine good deal.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And, I mean, and we'll thank you in advance.
For $20 a pop, you ain't going wrong. Don't be a cheap bastard. Promise you that.
Right.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to please get out there and sell something,
even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true Sell or Diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.